You know, there's without any doubt in my mind, it can never be challenged. There's eternal evidence that the greatest teacher on this earth that will ever be was Jesus Christ. And each one of us probably have absolutely no doubt, if we're studying our Bibles and we're reading what he's taught, not only those things that are in red, but the whole book, right, from Jesus Christ through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But there's another teacher that I want to look at this morning, not as great, but can be equally great if we let it be. And that teacher is learning from our mistakes. Some may say that Jesus is the greatest teacher. And if we will let him teach us, then we can learn from it and be better. But it's the same thing with learning from our mistakes. Because if we'll learn from our mistakes, that can also be a great teacher for each and every one of us. Now, just this statement itself, I could spend a lot of time on. And we're going to look at it a little bit. But first of all, learning. That is so critical. If you think about, and we're going to look at this term a little bit, because it's one thing to make mistakes, but it's another thing to learn from those mistakes. And we'll look at that. And then we'll talk a little bit. I kind of feel like I need to define mistakes, because I think there's some misunderstanding with that as well. Well, what are just some basic facts I don't think any of us could argue with this morning? Well, the first thing would be that we all make mistakes. Now, I'll try to say this as humbly as I can, but if you don't make any mistakes, then this sermon is going to have no relevance to you. You can say, you know, Rob, I'm perfect. This past week, I made zero mistakes. Well, when I get done with you, you're going to have some mistakes made. So don't think you're that high and mighty, because we all make mistakes. And what I mean by that is kind of point number two, and that is we have all sinned. Now, one of the areas of mistakes is what I'm talking about, sin. Now, Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Now, I would say most of us that are here in the audience this morning have maybe sinned more sins of omission instead of commission. And some might say, well, that's just confusing, Rob. Well, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit murder. These are sins of what? Commission. Sins of omission is maybe areas we could have been better at. And I'm not here to sit here and say there's not areas in my life this week that I couldn't have been better at. Now, you're walking on a thin line, because then somebody might say, oh, well, then we just have this fluid attitude about sin. But I think all of us understand what I'm trying to say. And the third thing is, acknowledging we have mistakes is the first step in learning from them. It's just like an alcoholic, and I know I've used this illustration before, and I wasn't in AA, so I don't know, but, you know, you can read up on it. When you go into Alcoholics Anonymous or any kind of drug rehabilitation or sexual abuse or whatever, when you go there, they say to you, if it's Alcoholics Anonymous, you have to first acknowledge that you have a drinking problem. If you don't do that, they will not admit you into Alcoholics Anonymous, because that's the first step. First step is, I'm a drunk. I need help. Well, the same thing with our mistakes in our life. And we'll look and see how to recognize those. But it seems very simple. But if we have these kind of mistakes and we can admit to them, that's the first step. That's the first step of learning from them. The other thing is, our attitude towards mistakes is key. So, Carl brought up in the class Wednesday just about our attitude. You know, our attitude can bear on everything in our life. If you have a bad attitude about this or a good attitude about it, can change. It's the same thing with our mistakes. Because, first of all, you have to have a right attitude to even admit that you have mistakes. That we're not perfect. Things are can be better. But you know, when you start talking along these lines, some people might say, well, you know, Rob, everybody makes mistakes. So don't worry about it. You know, it's so restrictive, God's word. You just walk around, you're debilitated, you can't do anything. You're just so worried about making mistakes. Well, we'll look at this later, but I want to encourage you right now that if we have a high standard, and the standard is this right here, this is the standard. So if we say, well, we all sin, we all make mistakes, and I know the Bible is it's rough on us, it beats us up spiritually. So we can't meet that standard, Rob. There's just no way. So what do? We lower the standard. Well, the Christian life, doing this, attending, and having to teach people and do work and fruits, and let's just lower the standard. Really? So who decides how low to go? Why don't we just do away with it altogether if we're going to lower it down? Well, the same thing. It's no big deal. What's the big deal? Well, there's going to be some things I'll briefly touch on that really are no big deal. I'll give you an example. If you forgot to brush your teeth this morning, is that a sin? Probably not a sin. Could it be? I guess if you didn't brush your teeth long enough, it's probably not good hygiene. Your teeth start falling out and, you know, those things. So take care of the temple. That's just an illustration, but we'll talk more about that. How about the attitude? Well, as long as it does not hurt anybody. You know, I can do anything I want, and I'll just look at it. No, didn't hurt anybody. It's okay to do that. No. The scriptures don't teach that. And as I mentioned, we will look at briefly that not all mistakes are sin. But I will say that all mistakes that we make, a lot of them are maybe our own standards. We like to apply God's word. Maybe you have a crooked picture in your house. Okay, maybe you're a type A personality and you want all your pictures in your house straight. Well, in your mind, that crooked picture is a mistake. Well, no, it's a crooked picture. So you see what I'm saying? Sometimes it may not be a mistake. It may be just something that you think could be better. So we're gonna look at that briefly because I think that's very important until our mental makeup. And life is full of mistakes. We live in an imperfect world. We do. There's no doubt when you drove to services this morning, there was probably some people that weren't just driving just exactly like the law says. It's imperfect. They didn't turn their blinker on. They sped. They did this. They did that. Well, we should try to obey the laws. I'm not discounting that. But there's also a lot of this around us all the time. And so sometimes we just got to kind of filter through it and decide what's important and what's not important as far as relative to us. Well, in general, the Christian is always under self-examination. We're always under self-examination. If you're going to be pleasing to God, it's just a constant examination all the time. And so in that examination, we're going to see where we're imperfect. We're going to see the mistakes. We're going to see where we can be better. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own self. Now, something that jumps out at me in this verse and some of the other verses we'll look at. Examine yourself. Now this morning I want you to examine yourself. I don't want you examining me. See, I got my own mistakes, my own problems. Do you want those too on top of yours? So you got to worry about your own and mine? No, just worry about your own. Now there's times, all that said, qualified, if something goes wrong and other people, do we just ignore it? No, we're not talking about that. But the focus this morning is learning from what? Our mistakes. Examine yourself. And I would say most of the time our duty and job is examining ourselves. Because sometimes we spend all the time, and in our culture today, I see this more and more the older I get. We can see the mistakes in others like it's a clear sunny day. But if there's some things in our life, well, I don't see nothing. What? That's just human nature. You know, we're driving down the road and you see a car wreck. Now, why does... Now, I'm not saying this about everybody because I don't know what they're thinking. But, I mean, it's the looky-loos. The whole highway backs up because, I don't know, just... And I wrote to somebody recently this week. It was like every little turn somebody did was wrong. I'm like, man, you could drive yourself crazy trying to pick that all out. I'm focusing on how I drive. And maybe that I can spend enough time on that. Anyway, that aside, examine yourself. Same kind of attitude in Galatians 6:4. But what? Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Prove his own work. And a verse we're all familiar with, Acts 17:30, in the times of this ignorance God weeped at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So there was a time of ignorance. There's a time of ignorance even in our own life. But we have no excuse now. So this learning from our mistakes is not really an option, is it? If we're going to listen to God's word, he's saying to us, examine yourself, look at your own works, what you can do. Now, one of the first mistakes I want to look at is basically biblical authority. Because in Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So one of the greatest mistakes that we can make is not knowing this book. As Brian mentioned in class, and each one of us examine ourselves, how much are we in that book? How much do we know about? When something's taught, do we even remotely understand? I don't know. I've never heard of that. Well, you know, there's these reading programs and all that. Do whatever you got to do. If that's what you'd like to do as far as getting to know God's word. But it makes sense to me that if we're going to be judged by this, if the mistakes that we're having is going to come out of this book, the test on Judgment Day is this book. I'm going to know this book. I'm going to know what's on the test. I'm going to know, did I fail or pass? And with God's grace and mercy, we can learn from that. That's expected of us. Another verse, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So unlearned, unstable, do we want to be those people? Because if you're unlearned and unstable, guess what? You're going to make a lot of mistakes. Because we're trying to guide ourselves in this life. And sometimes it's easy to look, but look at yourself. Say to yourself, what mistakes in life have I made? Maybe it was a lack of knowledge, and we're going to look at that briefly. Maybe it's just your desire to do something that was wrong. But if we want God's help, he'll help us through his word to overcome these things. Let's look at another verse. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall be what? All taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. That's our responsibility, that we're taught and that we learn. We learn. And somebody says, you know, I don't know, Jesus, he was without sin. He didn't make mistakes. How did he learn? Well, how did Jesus learn? How did he learn? Well, there's scriptures about that. Though he were a son, yet what? Learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Do you know we can learn by the things that we only mistakes, but we can also learn from the things that we suffer. The trials and problems in this life can help us learn and become stronger. That's just one of those things that is kind of contradictory to the world, that, oh, you can learn from suffering? Yeah, Jesus did. We can. What else is said? How about Psalms 119, verse 33? Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to also to admonish one another. It comes back to the importance of God's word. Because if we're going to learn from our mistakes, what's the standard of learning? It's God's word. It's not me. It's not anybody. It's God's word that we're just simply trying to teach. And if that's the standard that we look to, then we will truly learn from the standard and we can overcome these mistakes that are in our life. You remember what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Now that's verse 14. If you have your Bible open, you can look at verse 15, and he talks about when he was a child. When he was a child. So us as parents, as grandparents, we're looking at ourselves, but we're also looking at our privilege and opportunity. How about teaching our kids from learning from mistakes? They make mistakes. We make mistakes. Learning is all part of being a Christian. It's just an ongoing thing. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to learn from them, and we're going to move on. And so Paul acknowledged this to Timothy as well. Colossians 1:10, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in what? The knowledge of God. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." So these, if we were to go back, look how many times the word learned, that we just read all these verses, just a bunch that talked about learning. And learning implies what are you learning? You're learning something from God's word. It's something that you're processing. You're reading. You're saying to yourself, "Hey, I need to know this. I want to put this into practice." Well, what are some examples? You know, I think we've established the fact that we're going to make mistakes, that the scriptures teach us to learn, to have wisdom and knowledge. But as we look upon ourselves, we also can look in the scriptures as to examples. Now, if I was to ask you, can you give me a negative example of some people that did not learn from their mistakes? Did not learn? Well, who is that? Well, as we look at a negative example, the children of Israel. There probably more said, I mean, the wandering in the wilderness. How many times over and over? I mean, they were ungrateful that Jesus, that God the Father brought them out of captivity, Egyptian captivity. He gave them everything they needed. And what did they do? They murmured. What did they do when Moses went up to the mountain? They built idols. I mean, the examples, we could spend a whole lesson just on the children of Israel, what they did and did not do. And it just seemed like sometimes they were going down the right path and they were in a good relationship with God, and then they didn't learn from that. And they made mistakes over and over and over again. And we'll look at that a little bit later. But look at 1 Corinthians 10. Now, we could go to the Old Testament. We could read about different situations. But, you know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, hopefully you realize this, that he kind of sums up what the children of Israel were all about. Let's look at this. I'm going to read right out of the scriptures. I didn't want to put it up there. So 1 Corinthians 10, let's turn there and look at verses 1 through 12. "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea." Who was that? Children of Israel. We also read about this, the same kind of wording in another verse in the scriptures. "All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and ate the same spiritual food." So that's the children of Israel. "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them," now listen to this, this is the children of Israel, "but with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." They died 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Not all of them, but a lot of them died. "Now these things became" what? "Our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Verse 8, "Now let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 20,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer." Now, all these things happened to them as examples for us, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. That kind of flows into what we're talking about, because if you don't learn from this example, learn from the examples of the scriptures, learn from the mistakes that you make, you will fall. It says it. Take heed that you don't fall. You don't have the self-confidence that, oh, it's okay, Rob, like you talked about earlier, what's the big deal? Well, it is a big deal in some of these things. Well, what's another example? Well, that's just one negative example. We mentioned this one, or Brian did in class this morning, about positive examples of those who did learn from their mistakes. The Apostle Paul, and this is what he said in 1 Timothy 1:13, who was before a blasphemer, persecutor, injurious, he killed Christians, but I obtained mercy because I did it what? It ignorantly in unbelief. So, ignorant is not bliss. Ignorant is not an excuse. Paul saying once he found out on the road to Damascus what he should do, what did he do? Well, he learned from his mistake. Now, there's no, not to rate things, but you know, mistake of killing people, that's a pretty large mistake there. But Paul said that he was ignorant, but what did he do? You know, he could have just said, you know, I believe the law of Moses, I don't believe this, I'm not going down this road, I'm not going to be a Christian, I'm not going to be a follower of Christ. No, he didn't. And there's many other examples that we could look at in the scriptures in that sense. Those that didn't know the way, Apollos, and there's many other examples that they were doing those things, teaching those things that weren't right. And when they were told, they turned it around. They turned it around. So there's just a couple examples there. But the next level I want to go to, and that is, you know, making one mistake, that's one thing. Now, it's a mistake. It's a sin. Let's call it whatever it is. But if we don't learn from our mistakes, and I'm speaking to myself, what's going to happen? What usually happens? Well, we compound our mistakes. So one mistake on top of another mistake. Now in investing, that's great. Compounding interest, that's, you know, but we're not talking about investing right now. We're talking about our mistakes. Look at your own life. Maybe the times you just rejected God, you did what you wanted, and so that was a mistake. Then something else happened and it compounded that. Maybe you tried to make excuses for why you made that mistake. Why you didn't know. Maybe, I don't know, Rob, I just didn't know. Okay. Well, what about Adam and Eve? We'll just start all the way back from the beginning. Now, what did they do? Did they make mistakes? Yeah. Yeah, Eve took of the fruit, Adam took of the fruit. They were in direct violation of God's word, weren't they? Now, that was one level. And, I mean, up until they spoke to God, I mean, first of all, God told them what to do and not to do. And here comes the devil, tempting, influencing. And Eve listening to him. That was mistake one, wasn't it? Letting him influence her. I mean, just look at the compounding of mistakes. And then God comes to them and them hiding. Well, they compounded it. And that's all we know right then and there. There was compound. How about Cain? Did he compound his mistakes? He was told what to offer, the sacrifice that was pleasing to God. Was that enough? Did he just say, you know what, God, I didn't do it. I'm learning from my mistakes. I'm going to start sacrificing correctly. I believe God would have said, okay, yes. But that wasn't. What did he do? He compounded his mistake. He went out and killed his brother, right? I mean, he just compounded his mistake on top of that. We don't know much more about Cain other than what was said a little bit there, but that was the immediate focus, that his worship wasn't pleasing to God. Well, what about Moses? What about Moses? Moses did a lot of great things for God. He was a spokesman. He was a leader. But, you know, he had his faults. And what we're seeing not only with Adam and Eve and Cain, but we're going to see it with Moses, and we can see in our own life, is that there's consequences of our mistakes. And some mistakes are more consequential than others, depending on the mistakes. Certain things are that we do, the mistakes that we make, there's great consequences. And sometimes the devil wants us to rationalize, well, you know, if this don't go just right, here's all that's going to happen. Nah, it's never that way. It's like somebody that tells a lie. Most of the time they have to tell two or three more lies to cover that one. They compound their mistake. We can do it. What about Moses? What did Moses do that was compounding? Well, remember his anger? That was mistake number one. And he struck the rock. And you know, you remember not too long before that, I think he was told to speak to the rock. And then he was told, and so was he kind of confused? No, he understood exactly what God wanted him to do. But he compounded his... And what happened? Because of that, he was not able to go into the land of Canaan. Now, Canaan is figurative for heaven today. Right? And so if we don't do the things that we're to do, just like Moses, if we compound our mistakes, if we refuse to repent of these things, if we refuse to learn from these things, we're going to have the same kind of consequences. Where he couldn't enter Canaan, and we cannot enter heaven. God expects us to learn from our mistakes. And through his grace and mercy, even to this day, those things that we've been short of, those things that we didn't hit the mark, we become better. How about David? Oh, the life of David. Now, yes, it was horrible that he looked on the roof of Bathsheba. There's no doubt. That was mistake one. Now, he could have just turned away and ran and just said, I'm not seeing this. He compounded his errors, didn't he? He had to have Bathsheba. Bring her to me. That was like mistake two or three, whatever you want to count. Then what happened? She was with child. Then what happened? He killed her husband. Then what happened? I mean, it just goes on and on. Now, yes, he did repent of that. But David wrote a whole lot of things in the scriptures, especially in Psalms. And lamented the very mistakes that he made. And the verses are screaming out to us. Don't compound your mistake. If you make a mistake, stop. Right then and there. Acknowledge that mistake. Learn from that mistake. And don't compound it. Don't go further. Because the devil will make us rationalize. It's just a little mistake. Don't worry about it. Those little mistakes often become big mistakes. And they affect churches. They affect people. They affect our family. Just stop right then and there. Acknowledge it and learn from it. And we'll see a little bit later and not to do it anymore. How about Judas, betrayer of Jesus? Now, you could probably think of, oh yeah, he betrayed him. That was the big mistake. Read about Judas even before that, that talks about his heart. And I mean, Judas compounded his mistakes. He could have pulled out. He didn't. Could have. But he compounded his mistakes just as some of these other did over and over. Well, Rob, what hinders us from learning from our mistakes? Oh, there's a lot of things. How about pride? Has any of us ever said, I didn't do that. I didn't make a mistake. Maybe it's to ourselves. Under further examination, we just say, yeah, that's what it says. But, you know, nobody will really know about it, that I'm not doing that. You'll know. Pride gets in our way from learning. It does. And each and every one of us, as we examine ourselves, because a lot of things nobody else knows about, but we can help each other. But just say to yourself, I want to be pleasing to God. And just like David, and just like some of these others, I think of Peter. Just raise your hand and say, I was wrong. I didn't do the right thing. It's easy for us to just push it aside. Now, I don't mean to embarrass Timothy, but I'm going to use Timothy as an example. He said something in his sermon that I had my questions about, and he acknowledged it. Brethren, we got some young person right here among us. And by the way, I already had this sermon worked up. This isn't my sermon about Timothy, but learning from our mistake. Now, we got many examples of Jesus Christ and apostles and Peter and those that made Paul, but we got somebody right here we can learn from. Willing to say, I was wrong. Because you know what? I don't want to stand on the judgment day and say, I was wrong about a lot of things, but I had so much pride, I just didn't want to acknowledge them. What's he going to say? Depart from me. Our pride is one of the strongest motivations that we have. And we all have to work on it. We all have to work on it. Listen, if you make a mistake, I don't think the brethren here are going to crucify you. We're going to help you. Because you know what? We'll go all the way back to slide one. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Well, as we're kind of wrapping up here, what kind of application can we make? Now, I've kind of already made a whole lot of application. How about just our daily walks of life? Each one of us has daily walks. And each day, whether we're at work or at home, first of all, we make mistakes. Now, I want to talk about this just for a minute, because I want to talk about it in the sense of each other. It's like there were several things that went on today that were viewed maybe as a little mistake. I don't know. I'm going to embarrass somebody else. Who noticed Jeff, when he was there at the Lord's Supper, started to head that way? Jeff, I'm going to pick on you. He started heading over there. Now, one of the things that I really struggle with the older I get is my memory. Now, Jeff probably said to himself at some point, my rut goes right over there, right to my seat right there. But he said, well, I'm sitting over there. Well, he about-faced. Now, is any of us going to have a heartbreak over that? Now, if you're a type A personality, maybe your hair stood up on the back of your head. Because we can, brethren. Or somebody says pecan pie instead of pecan pie. You see what I'm saying? One of the dangers that conservative brethren have, and I'm just going to tell you this, because, and I know I'm speaking to myself. We want everything to be right. We want everybody to speak right. We want everybody to do right. We want everybody to walk right. If somebody trips over their foot, it's just do you know what I'm saying? If you don't understand, I'll talk to you later about it. I think a lot of Christians, if they're not type A people, they probably end up being type A people, because it's just the nature of trying to do the right thing. And as I mentioned before, we all make mistakes. Now, Jeff, that was, you know, I had no heartburn over that. As long as he didn't step on my toe walking by me, he's good. But there are just little things like that. So examine yourself. Remember, this is all about ourselves. When somebody says something that may not just be exactly right, and Diane and I talk about this sometimes because I mess up all the time. I say this, I say that. No, I just kind of word it the wrong way. And I kind of tell her, don't be that person. Meaning, you know, you could kind of nitpick me to death, and I might not have just said it just right, or I didn't mean that. Husbands and wives have to do this all the time. She might say something, I'm like, I know what she means. I'm not going to beat her up over it. See what I'm saying? Now, I think this is important because... But you know what? When I mess up like that, I'm my worst critic. I say to myself, I could say better, I could do better. But you know, you can become paralyzed so much to the point where any little thing in your life, it just drains you. And you know what some people do? It's too much. I'm giving up. I can't do this right. I can't do that right. Just cash it in. Now, what is that saying? Forbear one another in love. Our brethren, our wives, our husbands, our family. What's the common? Cut them some slack. Cut them some slack. We all make mistakes. And is that a big issue? It can be. Let me make a big issue out of that. I have a hard time being around people that are ultra critical. Just about every little thing. I have a hard time. I'll raise my hand. If you're going to be ultra critical about everything, it just it never ends. Never ends. What are you not saying, Rob? I'm not saying look over sin. I'm saying forbear one another in love. And you know what? Forbear one another in love can be sin. If somebody comes forward this morning and confesses sin of some kind, oh, I can't believe that person. Don't they know any better? Yeah, they are. They're telling us. Timothy, he knows better now than he did a week ago. He learns. He learned from his mistake. We can take that positive example and learn. Well, one more area. And this is probably the area that I struggle with the most. And I'm really working on it. And I'm really thinking better, if I can use myself an example. And that's our tongue. We say things that probably we don't understand how it affects others. But then again, like I said, I can cut you some slack. You know, joking around. You be careful with that. But just, what about things that are damaging? Think about what you're going to say before you say it. The old saying, count to 10. Maybe we need to count to 30. And you know what? Have you ever just backtracked out and said, I'm saying nothing? Well, that's a good test. Just say nothing. Can you do it? If you want to say something so bad, but you think to yourself, learn from our mistakes. We will be judged by every word that we say. As we've seen in class, we will. We're going to give an account for that. Make good decisions. That's the easiest way not to make mistakes. But you know what? A good decision is learning from your mistakes as well. Each and every one of us can learn from each other, but learn from ourselves. And if you have the standard of God's word, it's an ongoing battle that will never end. The devil will make sure of that. Take heed lest you fall. You think, oh, you know, Rob, yeah, there's a few areas I could work on. Okay, all right. Because really, those of us that are older, and I'm probably like on that line now, you know, between super young and super old. So anyway, but all of us can learn. All of us. And hopefully we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we become mature. And what? We'll make less mistakes. Hopefully. But I tell you, the older I get, my memory, now I don't know if I want to call them mistakes, but they may be accidental. You forget to do something. Diane reminds me, it's all right. But, you know, just learn from it. Don't let it be a crutch. You might say, oh, Rob, I'm 78 years old. I got a bad memory. Just forget about it. No, don't give up. Don't give up. Say to yourself, what am I going to have to do to remember this? That's why they make paper and pen now. Just write it down. Say to yourself, these are things I need to do. Let me just write them down. Learn from it. Well, what about you? Now, I usually don't quote. This isn't scriptural, but it's a good quote. I think it's scriptural. When you make a mistake, we're all going to do it, right? There are only three things you should ever do about it. Admit it. That's one. Learn from it. That's two. And what? Don't repeat it. I didn't learn from my mistake. I did it over and over. Each and every one of us can learn from our own mistakes. And we can help each other. Now, if you want to point out all the mistakes I had in this sermon, misspelled words, things I didn't say just right, okay. It's all on recording. Maybe we can just straighten that out. But seriously, we can learn and become better people, because that's what it's all about. Don't become complacent. Don't become, I've kind of reached the pinnacle. Say to yourself, where can I be better? What can I do better to be pleasing to God? Can I be a better parent? Can I be a better mother, father, husband, wife, member at Holly Street? How can I do better? What can I do better? And the standard of God's word is it's never ending. It's never ending. We'll never reach that pinnacle. It's always striving, as Paul said, always striving to do more and to be more pleasing to him. Well, what about you this morning? One of the greatest mistakes that denominations make is the plan of salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. They might skip out. Faith only. They may not want to confess that Jesus has deity, he is the deity. They may not want to be baptized. That's probably the biggest one. If you've made those mistakes as far as the plan of salvation, that can be turned around. You can become a Christian, but you have to do those things. That's God's word. Or maybe you're a Christian and you're just, maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. Maybe not something I said, but just in general. We're here to help you in any way that we can as we stand and sing.